My colleagues on the fifth floor of the BBC in London are a multilingual bunch. They work in some of the 40 different languages other than English that the BBC broadcasts in, and they're always doing amazing work, which you can hear on the Fifth Floor podcast. Here's one example. Recently, the Afghan service took on a really ambitious task to assess and map the Taliban's influence across Afghanistan. That's how the BBC's Aulia Atrafi ended up in Helmand province. It's a power center for the Taliban and Atrafi's home. On the podcast, he told host David Amanur about his visit to the provincial capital of Lashkargah, where some 10,000 people have fled to escape the Taliban.
It hits you as soon as you enter. The people look as if they are from another place. They don't fit into the city because they are so poor. We met Mohammad Riza. He was one of the richest men in town. He had an orchard of pomegranates, 2,000 trees. He described it as a paradise. He said, when I used to enter my garden, you know, my spirit would be lifted. But now, he said, I don't have a blanket to sleep in. After I came and my report went on air, I was in London to present that. The next day I woke up and in my hotel I was sat on my bed sipping coffee and looking down on London on a beautiful sunny day. And suddenly I started crying without any reason and I couldn't help it. You know, these were honorable, dignified people, and now they were in such a state. The thing is, they couldn't get used to this poverty and the misery that they were living in.
In your report, you take us to this place, this front line, but it's interesting the way that you introduce it as three front lines. You say, this is the civilians' front line, this is the Taliban's front line, and this is the soldiers' front line. It's the same place, but you're looking at it from three different perspectives. Why did you want to do that?
I think it was more to show that the suffering on these different levels. I went to this house. It was a beautiful mud house with this brick arch, and it was hit from three sides, by the Taliban from the one side, by the government from the eastern side, and then bombed by the Americans from the sky. And there were still signs that the family was living here not long ago. And this front line, for example, all around it, for about at least a kilometer or two that we could see, everything had dried out because this was a no man's land. No one could water these plants. There were hundreds of trees, all dry, and some of the ground had taken fire and it was black. It was a very, very eerie and ghostly feeling about it.
There's a point also where you come out of one of the soldiers' armored vehicles and you say, now this is the soldiers' front line. So what was it like going behind the Afghan security forces front line?
It was scary, the whole mentality of it. So the soldiers were telling me that now they are used to fighting so much that they get bored if there is no fighting for a while. So the Taliban were so close on the soldiers' front line that they could hear each other. And that was good for the soldiers because they said, when we get bored and we want to fight, then we taunt the Taliban. The Taliban are calling, you know, where are you, you sons of Bush? They mean President Bush. And then the security forces call back saying, where are you sons of Punjabis? That means they are supported by Pakistan. So it's all very derogatory language. It's very, very intimate in a way. The Taliban watchtowers are houses nearby. There's a lot of banter. For them, it's as important as fighting with guns.
And who is this Afghan army commander, the one they call the Terminator?
Commander Wali, he leads the 3rd Border Police Battalion. First, he got hit in his legs by a machine gun. Then he recovers from that. Then a rocket lands in front of him. Shrapnels hit his chest and his body. He recovers from that. And then in Sangin district, a Taliban RPG hits his Humvee, the armored vehicle. That takes the back of his skull. And then an American doctor pulls something out from the back of his skull, perhaps a shrapnel, and he opens his eyes and they realize he's alive. For the bit of skull that's missing, they put a metal plate there. And he goes back to work after a while. And then he walks on the Taliban landmine and he loses both of his legs. After 2 months, he's back on the front line and he's leading the same battalion, the same men that he's been leading, you know, for all the time. He's a very philosophical guy. He was the most sophisticated warrior I've met in my life. He wasn't boastful about his resilience or about his achievements, a rather modest guy. And he said, this war is imposed on us. He said, am fighting on the government side. My cousins are fighting on the Taliban side. We don't know what we are fighting for, why we are fighting, but we are fighting nonetheless. And the civilians and the children that are dying, I have no answer for that.
Alia Atrafi of the BBC's Afghan service, speaking there with Fifth Floor host David Amanor.